Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining another episode of Growth Trigger, where we talk about everything growth, not at just the top of the funnel, but across the customer journey and all the touch points that you have throughout the life cycle of a customer. Very fortunate to have John Radford, who's joining us all the way from England. He is the head of UK operations for Logitech, and he has been a serial entrepreneur as well as 15 years in the product engineering and technology space, has worked with a number of successful companies, helping build products that enable digital transformation and also enabling growth through digital transformation. So, John, welcome to the show. I'm delighted to have you.
Thank you for having me. Looking forward to it.
So, John, anything you would like to add?
Oh, that's a good summary. So, long story short, I've been in the game for about sort of 15 years now, building software of varying different types and for various different clients, through small startups that have gone on to raise significant funds to more enterprise level clients and everything in between. So I think today's discussion might be a little bit more focused around the kind of the SMEs, which is where sort of software can have a really transformative effect on the business and really help them with the growth, particularly now as we move into the AI era and SMEs having to really onboard that as part of their roadmap kind of for the next two years is do or die right now.
Exactly. Basically.
Which I'm sure we're going to get onto later anyway.
That's like the hot favorite that I like to talk about is the impact of AI across everything that we're doing today as a business. Let's start with an example. Yeah. Give us an example of work that you have done, which really like through technology fostered a tremendous amount of growth. It could be a company, it could be a partner, it could be anything.
Yeah, there's a few, to be honest. And one is a client that we're working with, which is a kind of a B2B tour operator. They run tours for, they're a travel operator, but they run it for business to business, okay? And so historically, their business has been very much a kind of people-led business, and we haven't changed that. But what we've done is implemented a set of technology tools that has allowed the people to become more efficient with their people-to-people experience. And so now, over the years, what's transformed from, say, a completely kind of phone and voice-based business, which is not a very scalable business, very personable, yes, but not scalable, to a more of a technology-led business supplemented by people. What we've done is implemented mobile apps, portals, and now actually AI calling assistants to help with their kind of customer service side of things. So the first thing was to enable their clients to facilitate and manage their own bookings through an online portal. Yes, it sounds simple, but this was quite a long time ago that this technology was implemented. But it's an example of how you're taking a traditional kind of, not a bricks and mortar business, but a business that was very
human interaction-based.
Human interaction, not scalable, and turn that into a kind of a more of a software-based business, but with people supporting that and adding the human touch on top.
I have experience in the B2B event industry myself. I used to be.
Cool.
I know exactly. It's still like a lot of network effect and people.
And actually, I'll give you another one, actually, which is along the same kind of lines, which is with a concierge company that we helped. And so what they do is offer concierge services to wealthy individuals. And so, for instance, let's say you wanted to get tickets to the F1 or to the cricket, if you're a cricket fan, which some of your listeners, I'm sure, are. It was a big match and it's tough to get tickets. These guys source tickets for you and all of that kind of thing, and film premieres, etc. Again, historically, email, text, phone-based business, not scalable at all. So we built them, I know it sounds simple, but we built them a really simple mobile app for their users, for their customers to use. You have your own account manager who you talk to directly through the app, but the requests that you make go through to a CRM portal, which can then be managed and then prioritized and ticked off. And once that's done, it's actioned and it's sent back through the app, push notifications, the client's happy. But there's a scalability to the business as well. So that's a bit of transformative tech. And the words of the business owner themselves is literally transformed
tech,
my business.
Technology.
Yeah. Because it's taken him from a sort of a 5-person operation to a 15, 20-person operation through technology.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a great way to scale as well. It's a great way to standardize the experience. And also, when you have digital touch points, you also have a lot of checks and balances built into the process. Like you just mentioned, somebody came in, they made a request, gets into the CRM. You can time them, you can like base, you can create automated tasks based on when something is due. And then when something gets done, the customer gets notified automatically. It's not really waiting for a human to actually sit there and type.
No, and interestingly, that's the next phase of any kind of SaaS or semi-software-based business is starting to now to automate some of these tasks to make it even more efficient and process-driven.
Exactly. And then, and you mentioned AI when we just got started. Who does not want to talk about AI?
Some people don't. They bury their heads in the sand and they're trying to ignore it as long as possible.
Well, I truly believe companies that don't embrace AI, they will have huge challenges going forward. I think it doesn't matter if you're big or small. In fact, I think for smaller companies, it actually levels the playing field in some extent. Mm. You being a smaller company, with the use of AI technology, you can actually behave like a big company.
Correct.
And that's one area that, and like you said, and I started my career back in 97. So it was just the beginning of the internet. E-commerce was like very nascent. Having an e-commerce store was like a kind of an exciting thing. It's like a natural thing right now.
Yes.
And a lot of companies, and SaaS was just getting started as well. And a lot of companies that did not believe in e-commerce, that did not believe in the power of the internet, did not believe in the cloud, did not believe in SaaS, they got left in really, they got left in the dust. And
And then later on, like an example of that would be somebody like Blockbuster had an opportunity to reinvent themselves and then didn't.
And they had like years to reinvent themselves. Like, I mean, I was there when Netflix first started, and it was a great, you know, all they did was, you know, for every time you, and the DVDs were getting, DVD players were getting popular at that time. So anytime you bought a DVD player, you got 10 free movies rentals delivered. That was the only thing they did. Right. They didn't do much of advertising, but they partnered with all the DVD manufacturers, the DVD player manufacturers. And it was a great complementary thing, because anytime you're buying a DVD player, if you know that you're going to get, and rentals used to be about $5 a movie. So that was like a $50 value right away with a $200 DVD player that you were getting. And that's how they got their subscriber base. But Blockbuster, for the longest time, you know, kept fighting it. And by the time they got into the digital, they had already burned so much money. They were running so much losses. Nobody was really willing to place a bet on them anymore.
No, I agree. And I think for, say, a lot of SMEs, I think if you're not a digitally native company as well, it's still really important to embrace it and take it on board. Even if you are at the moment kind of feeling like you're doing okay, if that makes sense, and you've got good revenue and you've got a decent bottom line, it's still important because that is going to change. And if you don't do it, your competitors will, and that's where you're going to come
and start. I think the other thing which happened is like COVID was a huge influencer and an accelerator or a catalyst
for
adoption to digital, because a lot of businesses that had never thought of having a digital posture, they thought that they could continue the way they are, even in healthcare.
Yeah.
A lot of doctors for the longest time had resisted adopting technology, but when COVID came, it was like there was no choice left. You had to consult patients online.
Absolutely.
There was no other choice. And then they found, oh, this actually works and this is actually really good. Same thing with a lot of companies that had never, restaurants for that reason. A lot of restaurants that didn't really focus on delivery, they were like more dine-in experience and we want to, but when COVID came, they were like, oh, I have to really think about, and I know of really high-end restaurants that actually recreated that high-end experience at people's homes. They would have their kitchen and they would like send stuff, but they would make sure that it was like packaged really well. They really gave that in a restaurant dining experience to their customers at their places.
Sure.
So a lot of businesses really thought out of the box, and it catapulted them into a better place. And I think the same thing with AI is happening is companies have to realize that AI can be a game changer for them.
Yeah, it can. And actually, you talked about the experiences and recreating that kind of high-end experience. And say on the customer service side, AI is somewhere that you can really help. If you are a medium-sized business and you have any kind of customer service or call centers or chatbots or whatever it is, this is somewhere that really you've got to start thinking about doing it. Like having customers waiting on the end of a phone line, listening to hold music, you just can't have that anymore in the age of AI. You have to work on having decent chatbots or a kind of a voice powered assistant, which is something we've built, by the way, to at least be that first line customer interaction.
An airline, a VP of customer service earlier today, and I just think the worst phone service experience that you get is with the airline industry, basically. Because anytime you have to...
I don't know. My broadband operator is pretty terrible. I'm not going to name and shame,
anytime
but
you, wanna,
you know who you are.
Anytime you want to change a flight, anytime you want to get a refund, anytime you want to have an inquiry about anything from baggage to anything, either you're waiting on the phone like for many minutes and then eventually you get to somebody and they still can't help you. Even a small change request... Yeah. Takes, let's say I want to change my flight, it's, hey, these are your options, and I pick the options, and they cancel the original booking, make the new booking, and it's like a 15 to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And
but this is the problem with the larger companies, is that implementing those changes actually is difficult for them, because implementing any kind of digital transformation piece within an enterprise-level organization is tough, because you have to get buy-in from stakeholders. You have to get buy-in from your staff as well, and then obviously roll it out sequentially, and it's difficult, and it's a 1-2 year program. And like you said, that's where the SMEs actually have a little bit of an advantage, in that they can be a little bit faster mover with these changes and be maybe a bit more agile, maybe a bit more creative with their transformation.
Yeah, and then with larger companies,
and actually get a head start.
Larger companies, data is always, their data is not organized. Yeah. AI is going to be only as good as the data that you're feeding into it. So if your data is not that well organized and it's not in one centralized place, which I think for like SMEs, it's a lot easier to do because their tech stack is not that complex.
Yeah. No, it's not. No, exactly. It's not as multi-layers. And they're just running a few systems.
Any advice that you would like to share with companies that are small and medium size that want to embrace AI? What would be typically, we always say crawl, walk and run. In your view, what would be the crawl, walk and run if somebody wants to adapt to AI?
Yeah, so first thing is to actually crawl, and you've got to make that step. And I think what we find is a lot of it is the people that we would talk to, they're often still founder or owner run businesses, right? And so those owner run businesses, typically the bottleneck tends to be with that owner. They're a busy person, they don't necessarily have the time, so they think they push this down in their priority list. So I think the first things first is you've got to start taking it seriously, and you've got to start that crawl aspect. So with the crawl, it's a crawl, walk and run. The crawl, I would actually start by doing what we call, and that's it's a service that we offer, is an AI audit. So that is a look at the whole organization and the whole process, and look at how we can get a few quick wins of any kind of AI implementation that can get you a quick win across your
whatever your business processes are, looking at them and seeing where can AI have an impact from.
So that's what we do as the first phase, and that would be probably the crawl, and then the walk would maybe be implementation of a chatbot or kind of a script that reads incoming emails or something like that, that can auto respond to if for instance you get tons of emails from customers
auto respond, auto schedule, auto resolve issues, basically
all of these things. So like a small bit of automation or something like that, and then a run would be like full implementation of automating kind of large tasks and processes throughout.
And typically, what do you think for a small business, let's quantify that, and maybe if you have an example, let's say it's like a 100 to 200 people company, and they have thousands of customers, and they get a decent volume of incoming support tickets. They also get a sales team that is actively talking to their customers.
Yeah.
And then obviously they are like shipping either products or providing a service. In that scenario, what do you think is a typical timeline for the three phases that we just talked about?
Yeah, that's a good example, actually. I think the first phase can just be a month to 6 week timeline to do that overview of the business and look at the processes, the audits, And then the second one, we're probably looking at a 2 to 3 month, and then the same again for kind of the implementation. So all in, probably looking at about a 6 month program of works, I would say. Depending slightly on if there's any kind of resulting software that needs to be developed as a result. Because sometimes it could be, there could be like a front end skin or a wrapper or something, whatever it might be, that would need to be developed to increase that automation piece. But the example you talked about there, you've got quite a few touch points of where AI could, you can automate the kind of the end to end process, the kind of the CRM integrations, the support tickets, prioritization of support tickets by, you could have a machine learning algorithm that would learn the importance of tasks or maybe auto-respond to tasks or complete tasks without you actually having to get involved because it's learned the behavior or learned the touch points. Yeah, that's quite a good example of the one you gave, actually.
What are the best ways for somebody to explore AI on their own? What I see is a lot of people are hesitant to go talk to a consultant yet. They want to introspect and figure out themselves before they're going to take that step of involving an outsider in their business.
Yep.
What do you think should be the approach there? Are there any tools that you recommend that they kind of play with, or is there like a self-audit that they can do that helps them answer the question whether AI can have an impact on their business?
Sure. You can just have a conversation with ChatGPT about this and it'll give you a pretty good idea straight away. My suggestion would be go to ChatGPT and enter a few prompts around, this is my business, this is my revenue, this is my current pain points, this is what I do, this is the customers that I interact with, this is what I think we should be doing. What do you think? I guarantee you're going to get a pretty good answer back, to be honest. And it'll at least give you an idea of where you can go with it and what you can do. And
brilliant, I think. That's brilliant. In fact, and you know, that way they also get a taste of AI firsthand. Because we dabble with AI every day. You and I, like, we know the power of AI, but a lot of people out there, they've heard a lot about AI, but they have not yet tried AI, basically.
Yeah, give it a try. And obviously, it's not doing me out of a job. All it will do is show you the power of what it can actually do, also in the right hand. So people say it's all about the prompt, and it is about the prompt, but obviously we write models and agents and we develop specific agents to do exactly what you need it to do. But what AI can do is very quickly give you an overview that you can come to someone like us and say, look, we've identified this via AI, and like, how can you go, can you implement it?
And I think it gives them a little bit of control as well. Like, they're walking with some level of confidence that they know what they want to get done in their business and where they think they can be impact.
Yeah, and I think it's the same, like, if you're building a SaaS-based startup, like, not in the AI world, you should still do your research a little bit around tools and software development platforms and how things are made and what good UX and UI is, and do a little bit of learning yourself so you're not entirely reliant on a software provider. You're coming to the software provider for a bit of guidance, but at least being able to talk the talk or have a rough understanding is going to be helpful. Right.
John, I think it was wonderful catching up with you. Hopefully our audience has learned a thing or two about how they can leverage technology to foster growth and better customer service. And once again, thank you for being a wonderful guest.
Pleasure. I've really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on.